We are so quick to judge. We disagree with something and then we close ourselves to any other perspective. We are so eager to share our point of view that we don't even take the time to form a point of view. When it comes to judging something, I feel we must make an effort to understand before we pass a judgment. Enough of topicality, guys. I think we all need to slow simmer our thoughts. That's what I'm calling it. Hello and welcome to episode number 3 of my new podcast, Advertising Not a Funny Business. In this episode, I'll be sharing my thoughts about the Netflix show, Indian Matchmaking. Since the show was released, many people have spoken about it, ranted about it, and I've read it all, watched it all, consumed it all. Interestingly, most of the reviews and opinion pieces I came across were by people who actually resent the arranged marriage setup. Some of them were also anti-marriage, and most of these people were unmarried. So while I don't particularly disagree with their sentiment and how they feel about the show, I thought maybe as someone who found her partner through the arranged marriage route, I must share my point of view. Okay, let's get started. The practice of arranged marriages began as a way of preserving and uniting upper caste families to keep their bloodline pure. Arranged marriage is not just a union of a boy and a girl, but two families with equal social standing. Remember Hindi movie dialogues like, "Kyun na hum is dosti ko rishtedari mein badal de?" As two businessmen decide to create a larger empire by getting their kids married. Marriages are mostly, always, strategic decisions. If I keep these two parameters in mind, caste preservation and family arrangement, my marriage was not quite as quote-unquote arranged. My husband and I don't belong to the same caste and I didn't change my last name. Also, our families were hardly involved in the whole process. I had not even met his parents until one day before the wedding. I know, you can't imagine that. I had met them on a Skype chat once and our parents had met each other to discuss the logistics of the wedding and stuff. So I understand that my case is quite exceptional and I'm talking from a place of privilege where I could make my own decisions and I was under no pressure to marry someone. But unfortunately, that is not the case with most people in India. Arranged marriage as a concept is regressive because in most cases, it is not an individual decision, individual choice, but a communal one. Your family, your relatives, your closest friends are all part of this decision-making process. Arranged marriages in reality is about the chances and the probability of getting chosen by someone and the many, many rejections you face on the way. Smriti Mundra, the person who created Indian Matchmaking, also made a documentary called A Suitable Girl. That documentary told the stories of three women, including Seema Taparia's own daughter, and these stories were from a lower social strata, unlike the NRI lives we see in Indian Matchmaking. In A Suitable Girl, we see Jyoti and her family go through a tough time trying to find a guy for her. Jyoti goes through a long spell of depression as man after man rejects her. She doesn't have a long list of criteria, and there are no demands or fantasies. Marriages are especially distressing for women because their parents are always under societal pressure. That is regressive. Seema Taparia herself goes through this pressure as she struggles to find a match for her daughter. Apparently, society makes you feel that you're not taking care of your daughter if you're not able to get her married. It is a tick mark duty, personal responsibility of a parent to get their child married. And that is what creates this mad urgency. The reason behind Preeti Aunty's BP is not Akshay, but her own kitty party. Marriages are about family's izzat. It has nothing to do with love, companionship or partnership. A very dramatic visual is coming to my mind. You know how in old Hindi movies, when the groom or his family threatened to leave, and then the bride's father would keep his headgear, that sehra, under the groom's feet? That is family's izzat. It's almost like you're begging people to marry your daughter. That is regressive. And it is the story of many people's lives even today. So I was very happy about the fact that all the characters in the show possessed the agency to say no and say yes to whatever they wanted. Whether it was Aparna saying no to one guy after another, or Rupam, the single mother who eliminates Seema Aunty and finds someone on Bumble instead. Or Ankita, who chooses her career over marriage. Majority of India who opt for arranged marriages are like Jyoti or Akshay, who don't have much experience with love or relationships, who don't know what to expect from love except maybe Shah Rukh Khan, which they know is a fantasy made of a few movie dialogues and a feeling, nothing more. They don't feel confident about making this huge decision all by themselves and happily let the elders in the house lead this decision. They are ready to be flexible, adjusting and compromising because that's the way they've seen people behave around them. Just like Amrita, another girl from the documentary, A Suitable Girl, who leaves her life and her career in Delhi to become a homemaker. A complete transformation of character from being a party girl in Delhi to being the responsible Sanskari Bahu in Rajasthan. Smriti Mundra's evolution of narrative landscape from A Suitable Girl to Indian matchmaking is stark, yet both at the same time are true depictions of how different people in India navigate through the marriage market. This journey is mostly stressful, humiliating, depressing, disgusting, sometimes exciting, until you luck out and find the one who's worth all of it, hopefully. But this journey could be true for dating also. I remember being extremely wary of getting married. I love the idea of being a young, strong, independent woman living life on her own terms. As an introvert, I was really happy living my single life, living alone, learning to cook, watching movies, reading books, traveling, indulging in my hobbies, kicking ass at work, putting in long hours. It was great fun. I didn't need anybody. But time was ticking and my parents finally pressed the buzzer. I resisted for a long time, but eventually I let them look. I was like Pradyuman in that stage, rejecting every other proposal because nothing was exciting. In all honesty, I was commitment phobic. While pop culture is full of stories of single independent women making their own decisions, living it up, and stories of young couples who find love in the most unexpected ways, serendipity is everyone's favorite word, we hardly have any stories of what happens in the happily ever after. How men and women navigate through a happy yet maybe dysfunctional, complex lives together. Mani Ratnam's Sathya did that somewhat long ago, but nothing else that I can remember. Let me know if you do. For the sake of argument, we could say that the daily soaps are doing that, starting with romance and then getting into the whole aftermath, family drama and all of that. What I don't like about such shows is the whole Ardhangini syndrome that women seem to develop after getting married. Ardhangini is a synonym for wife, which literally translates to the other half. So the wife is supposed to be the other half of the husband, the better half if you may, who takes care of him, understands his needs, his likes, dislikes, stands up for him, fights for him, sacrifices for him. Her whole identity is tied to complete the half-husband who cannot take care of himself. Now, I don't want to judge people who actually enjoy doing that, to each his own, I get it, but I could not see myself being that person. Thanks to the marriage culture I had seen around me, marriage was not something I aspired to have at all. I had not grown up dreaming of my wedding either. And a recent breakup from a longish relationship had made me very skeptical about the point of getting married. I remember I just could not stand husband-wife jokes, the kind where husbands are usually scared of their wives and the wives are usually nagging their husbands. Ugh, I hate them. After 4 years of living the fun, independent, amazing life and a couple of not so great, whatever they can be called, things, I found myself surrounded by a lot of divorcees and people who were not so happy in their marriages. 4 years of living alone also gave me a lot of time to introspect and think about what I really wanted. I could feel a sense of loneliness creeping in, like a dark hole in your heart that never fills up, even when you're happy. That feeling of loneliness felt a lot worse than the happiness of living the single independent life. Single life, though romanticized, sucks big time. It was hard to admit, but I longed for true connection. As much as I loved myself and loved spending time with myself, it was difficult to admit that I wanted to be loved. You know, it is politically incorrect to say that I need a man in my life, because why should you need a man? You are independent, self-sufficient, you don't need anyone. And I wondered, does it make me a lesser feminist or less woke if I need a man? Are marriages really so toxic? Is everybody stuck in a marriage just because they can't leave? Now I know better, of course. None of this is true. But I still wonder, why is the feeling of loneliness stigmatized? Why do we think that the opposite of loneliness is companionship? Because you can feel lonely even when you are happily married. I wish they had spoken about things like these in Indian matchmaking. The backstories of these characters and why they wanted to get married in the first place. So despite being really cynical about marriages, I still wanted to take a chance because honestly, I was also not a very dating-shating kind of a person. And I thought if the marriage didn't work out, I could always get a divorce. The option to leave the person and the feasibility and acceptability of that idea in my head made it a lot easier for me to take the plunge. In my heart, I was like Nadia, full of optimism and excitement, which is what I love about the character. She's the only person who's so optimistic about the whole arranged marriage setup that you want things to work out for her. She wants to make an effort, she wants to understand the other person, she's ready to embrace all that life has to offer. She's totally ready to get married. None of the other characters have the zest for marriage that Nadia has. But on the surface, I was like Ankita, because work was still a big, big priority. And I was ready to walk away if things didn't align with my career. But deep, deep within, I know I felt like Aparna. I love that character, by the way. I love how self-aware she is, and she's so funny. It's great how comfortable she is in her skin, how she speaks her mind without any inhibitions. Aparna is picky because she knows what she likes and doesn't like. That's important. And many people cannot digest that. Just like Aparna, I was also very choosy. I also had a long list of criteria, things that I wanted and didn't want. The point of having a list is not to match everything, but to be cognizant of what's negotiable, what's non-negotiable, and weed out people who you know would not work for you. It gives you a perspective on what each of us has to offer. In fact, what had struck me about the person who turned into my husband later was the way he had described the person he was looking for. It was not the fair, thin, beautiful, cultured girl kind of a description. My first reaction when I read his what I'm looking for section was, hey, that sounds like me. Having a list of criteria gives you the clarity about what you want and what you're okay to put up with, which is so, so important. Indian matchmaking has been criticized for lacking diversity and promoting all sorts of discrimination. Color, class, caste, status, which is unfortunately the reality of the system, and we make such discriminations even when we are dating. Sometimes subconsciously, sometimes in the guise of preferences. Like, I'm only attracted to tall guys, what to do? It is discrimination, but that is how it is. It was interesting to observe how Vyasar's body weight was never a part of any conversations. However, the matches that Seema Aunty selected for him were women who were on the heavier side to match their body types. It is a very strategic check, maybe it's an Indian thing, I don't know, to see how the guy and the girl look together. Saath mein jachte hain ki nahin. You know the whole jodi concept. So a tall person and a very short person together is a no-no. A thin person and a fat person together is a no-no. A fair person and a dark person together can never work. And in the same vein, high caste, low caste, high income, low income cannot work. Shaadi barabari mein hoti hai. That is what is triggering most of the people. The way arranged marriage treats you like an object on sale, where you're weighed and checked and labeled and then rejected most of the times. Recently, Smriti Mundra appeared in a panel discussion on Facebook page of International Dalit Solidarity Network, where they discussed this show from the point of view of marginalized communities and the discriminations they have to face in the marriage market. One argument that really made me think hard about this was when Christina compared these discriminations with the racism that African Americans face in the US. She argued that just because racism is a reality does not mean you make a show about white families and how they are conditioned all through their lives to hate on black people. A show like that would be unacceptable. And suddenly it made so much sense. It helped me understand how it was affecting so many people psychologically. While I understand that this documentary come reality TV format tried to be honest about the way things really are, but as creators, we also have the responsibility to show people how they could be better. Help people navigate their reality, give them voice, instead of normalizing that ugly reality the way Indian matchmaking does. Maybe the sutradhar of the show, I mean the narrator, could be someone else and not Seema Aunty. Someone who added a new perspective to what was happening. Or maybe not have a single Seema Aunty but a diverse set of matchmakers showcasing different kinds of reality. I think that is inherently an India problem. Because anything you say about India and Indian people is true and false at the same time. There would be a starkly different reality in another corner of the country, a parallel universe, if you may. While arranged marriages in our society is a regressive idea because of the way it is carried out, I'm not totally against the idea of arranged marriages per se. Not everyone has a girlfriend or a boyfriend, no? Now, Akshay, for example, full padhaku type bacha, never made a girlfriend in his whole life. Now, when it's time to get married, suddenly he can't start dating people on Tinder, no? Some may also say that arranged marriages take away all emotions from the process of finding the one. That's not necessarily true either. It is a different kind of romance, that's all. And we need to stream more diverse ideas of romance in popular consciousness. If Bollywood had actually made some amazing rom-coms about arranged marriages, then these perceptions would also have changed, I'm sure. Oh God, I'm reminded of the movie Vivaah now. Remember? I hated it so much. Because of the way arranged marriages are always shown in such a traditional sharmili ladki kind of a way who enters the living room holding a tray in her hand. Socha Na Tha was a fun twist on the whole arranged marriage story setup. Advertising for platinum love bands also show some sweet arranged marriage stories, moments, and of course all the matrimonial website ads. These websites focus more on the family and the matchmaking criteria and less on creating those true connection between people, which is the whole point, I think, which they are completely missing. So what I'm trying to say is that I think arranged marriages done right can actually be quite empowering and allow you to make a choice on your own terms. That's something they show in A Suitable Girl also, where Jyoti becomes so much more confident when she takes control of the matter by getting on those matrimonial websites. And for the first time, gets to enjoy the journey of talking to men and figuring it all out. And for those who are already a bit experienced in this whole dating thing, I think arranged marriage makes for a great exercise on self-awareness. Those bullet points of criteria in Indian matchmaking were so insightful. Interestingly, most of the times, those characters were looking for people who were just like them. My criteria list was just the opposite. I had all the things that would help me weed out people I was sure I didn't want. I had things like, should not be from a business family, not from a joint family, should be in Delhi, Bombay or Bangalore because that's where I can work, should be from a good college, so well educated, and many more things like that. I could be flexible about the other things, but these were my non-negotiables. Talking about flexible, I think what Akshay's mom actually meant by flexible was to not be too rigid, like not have a rigid point of view where it's my way or the highway, you know, where you only want everything done your way. Life does not work like that. Let's be realistic. We all need to be a little flexible. But compromise is a strong word. Maybe the simpler word is cooperate or support. What I like about arranged marriage setup is that it is more purposive, which I personally prefer because dating is just too much uncertainty and drama that I don't like. I prefer looking at marriage as a planned, secure choice where you're more self-aware, a bit more in control, and make a well thought through decision. Anyway, what I really mean to say is that you can find love even through arranged marriage route. But whether your marriage is successful or not depends on a lot of factors. It has very little to do with how you found each other and more about what kind of people you both are and the kind of relationship you create. And that is the most important thought I want to leave you with. Thank you for listening to this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. I would love to hear your stories, especially if you're married or if you're nervous about getting married like I was a few years ago. Let me know if you agree with me and definitely let me know if you don't agree with me. You can find me on Instagram at advertisingnotafunnybusiness, where I chit-chat after every episode. And this time, I would be discussing some movie references around arranged marriages. Or you can also write to me at advertisingnotafunnybusiness@gmail.com. Or you can find me on LinkedIn as Snigdha Bose. Yeah, that's my name. So that's it. See you in the next episode. Ta-da!